My name is Alex Shattenberg. I'm the Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, and we have co-sponsored to have Bobby Schindler and Dr. Margaret Cottle speaking to you today. Bobby I've known for a little while now, and he's a former school teacher, and he's 13 months younger than his sister Terry. He talks about the issue of what happened to his sister and all the events around that from a personal experience, from a direct personal experience. It's not third hand, it's directly connected to his life and how he experienced this whole issue. And I think a lot of people think about the issue of Terry Schiavo, and people can be a bit crass about it and think of her as being, you know, just a body in a bed sort of thing, as somehow some people like to think. And yet she was much more than that. She was a family member, and Bobby wants to tell us all about that. And they also, just in case you're interested at all, they do have a book that they've written from their own family experience of the whole case. We saw it in the media, and we saw every day different things happening in the media. Yet this was a direct experience that they lived every single day, and it's something that they're committed to working on for many, many, many years, maybe the rest of his life. Bobby, please come forward and speak.
I want to thank you for inviting me to be here today and taking the time to listen to me and just a little bit about what our family went through in an effort to save my sister's life. On March 31st, 2005, my sister Terry Schindler Schiavo lost her fight and died from the effects of dehydration. My sister tenaciously fought for her life for more than 13 days of being deprived of the most basic, natural, and constant need we all share: food and water. Terry was deprived of those basic things for one reason: to cause her unnatural and untimely death. Terry lived in a neurologically compromised state for reasons that are still unknown, and my family wanted nothing more than care for Terry for the rest of her natural life. My sister was not brain dead, not terminally ill, and not dying or succumbing to any killer disease. She was disabled. She was dependent on others. In fact, the only difference between my sister and all of us here today is that she was fed once a day by a feeding tube. Contrary to how Terry was portrayed by Michael Schiavo, her husband, and many in the popular media, she did not have to be confined to a bed. My sister only needed a wheelchair, and she could have been taken anywhere. In fact, if she still were alive today, she could be with us here today. However, after a week-long trial, Judge George Greer of the Sixth Circuit Court of Pinellas County, Florida, ordered that my beloved sister wanted to die this unnatural and gruesome death by taking away her feeding tube without her consent. For almost 2 weeks, my family was forced to watch my sister suffer through the very real and very grisly effects of terminal dehydration. With each passing day, Terry appeared more weakened, thinner, and so very frightened. I listened to the proponents for the so-called Right to Die movement defiantly deceive news audiences that what my sister endured was a gentle, peaceful, and euphoric demise. I sat on the corner of her bed, trying so hard to understand that what I was witnessing was actually real. On February 25th, 1990, while home alone with her husband Michael, Terry collapsed. She was 26 years old. Terry was deprived of oxygen for several minutes, and because of this, suffered a severe brain injury. As I already stated, my family still doesn't know what caused Terry's collapse. Michael Schiavo was subsequently appointed Terry's guardian and had 100% control regarding Terry's well-being. My parents had none. Medical documents would verify that my sister was initially responding to therapy and rehabilitation, beginning to speak by forming words such as mommy and stop. In 1993, Michael Schiavo filed and won a medical malpractice lawsuit on behalf of Terry. The jury awarded upwards of $1.5 million to be placed in a medical trust fund for Terry's lifelong therapy and rehabilitation. The jury based this award in large part on the testimony of Michael Schiavo, promising to honor his wedding vows and provide my sister with lifelong therapy and rehabilitation, with Michael making no mention that my sister had any type of verbal death wish. Medical documents will also verify that all forms of therapy were ordered stopped by Michael Schiavo sometime in 1992. This was in spite of Terry's improvement and in spite of the dozens of doctors that over the years recommended that my sister could be helped with proper rehabilitation and therapy. Sometime in 1993, Michael admitted that he tried to kill Terry by refusing to treat a UTI infection that would have ultimately resulted in my sister's death if the nursing home where she was had not intervened. He also admitted to having at least two intimate relationships while still being married to my sister. Coincidentally, Michael Schiavo was the inheritor of Terry's trust fund, which at that time was around $1 million. In 1994, just 4 years after my sister's collapse, Michael asked the woman he was dating, Jody Cinzoni, to marry him. And shortly thereafter, they began living together and eventually had two children during the time he was seeking to remove my sister's feeding tube. In 1998, 8 years after my sister's collapse and 4 years after he made his intentions to marry the woman he was living with, Michael abruptly petitioned the court to remove Terry's feeding tube based on hearsay evidence that my sister allegedly made in her early 20s that she would not want to live disabled. In January of 2000, Judge Greer held a week-long trial based on this hearsay evidence. Just prior to the beginning of the trial, and almost 10 years after Terry's collapse, Michael's brother and sister-in-law suddenly surfaced, also claiming that they had heard Terry made casual comments that she would not want to live disabled. My entire family, my mother and my father and younger sister Suzanne and myself, and some of Terry's closest friends in Florida and where we grew up in Philadelphia, testified that Terry never spoke about wanting to die. Nevertheless, on February 11, 2000, Judge Greer ruled that there was clear and convincing evidence that my sister would have wanted to be starved and dehydrated to death instead of having her family care for her for the duration of her natural life. Throughout the entire history of mankind, never was it held that food and water constituted medical care. Our nation now claims food and water to be medical treatment instead of ordinary care to facilitate their removal from persons deemed by the medical industry or the courts as unworthy of life, primarily for economic reasons. Persons like Terry with injuries and disabilities are seen as not being worthy of life, not worth the investment. After seeing the cruelties and crimes committed in the 20th century, the classification of certain groups of people as not being worthy of life by government leaders, particularly in Nazi Germany, who were subsequently prosecuted at the Nuremberg trials for crimes against humanity, it is beyond comprehension that we are again seeing the same culture of death impose its will upon society's weakest and most vulnerable members. Every human being is endowed by his or her creator with insatiable worth. Therefore, no human being or agency has the authority to pronounce an innocent person, such as my sister, unworthy of life. We as a society are standing on a cliff with two clear and utterly polarized choices that we can make. Either we value each other in spite of disability, or we despise each other based on those limitations. I urge all those in leaderships to afford the protections to all weak and vulnerable people which were denied to my sister, Terry. Thank you again for having me and taking the time to listen to me this afternoon.